Well, good evening again, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night. Our delayed broadcast going out in Christchurch on Saturday night, Kapiti Coast Sunday afternoon, and Wellington Sunday evening, and around the globe on planetaudio.nz. Programme brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. So wherever you're listening tonight, I hope you can stay with us for the next hour. We'll bring you all the latest news from Ireland, and we'll play you good music as well. So stay tuned for the next hour, and hope you enjoyed the programme. Well, it was the centenary of the first sitting of the Old Éireann on Monday last, the 21st of January, and the current government met in the Mansion House, and all former TDs that are still alive, they were all invited there. But of course, the 21st of January in 1919 was the day that the Civil War started in Ireland, with the ambush that took place in a place called Solohead Beg, down in County Tipperary. And one of the men that was involved in that ambush that went on and became a TD later on was Dan Breen. And here's a song in his memory, or all about that particular ambush, called Galtee Mountain Boy, sung by Paddy Riley.
I join the flying column in 1916 in Cork with John Moylan, in Tipperary with Dan Breen. Arrested by Free Staters and sentenced for to die. Farewell to Tipperary, said the Galtee Mountain Boy. We went across the valleys and over the hilltops green, where we met with Dan Lacy, John Hogan and Dan Breen, John Moylan and his gallant men who kept the flag flying high. Farewell to Tipperary, said the Galtee Mountain Boy. We trekked the Wicklow Mountains, we were rebels on the run. Though hunted night and morning, we were outlaws but free men. We tracked the Dublin mountains as the sun was rising high. Farewell to Tipperary, said the Galtee Mountain Boy. I have bid farewell to old Clonmel that I never more shall see, and to the Galtee Mountains that oft times sheltered me, to the men who fought for their liberty and died without a sigh. May their cause be ne'er forgotten, said the Galtee Mountain Boy.
Yes, that's Paddy Riley there singing the Galtee Mountain Boy, and that was a favourite song of the late Barney McCahill. So any the McCahill family listening tonight, we'll play that in Barney's memory. And of course, we play that in memory of all the people that died in the terrible war, the War of Independence that took place, started in January 1919, went on till 22. And of course, hundreds of people died in that. And we're back up to modern day history now. And here we had on Saturday night, a car bomb went off in the middle of Belfast outside the courts there. Lucky enough, a warning was given, so the police service in Northern Ireland were able to clear the area. But literally 10 minutes before the bomb blew up, there was a lot of young people out on a Saturday night, passed by the car. Nobody's taken responsibility for it yet, but it seems that it's the work of a splinter Republican group called the New IRA. Right, well, the weather in Ireland, a bit of snow in parts of Donegal and parts of Ireland at the moment. But according to the front of the Irish Times today, it's going to be dry in most parts of the country. Rain in the west will spread east and a high of 3 to 10, so a bit cooler than it is here. Other headlines in the front of the Irish Times today, there's a picture of Kathleen Lynch. She's a member of the travelling community, and they were at the coroner's inquiry into the deaths of 10 people from the travelling community in a Carrig Mines fire, which happened in about 2012. And there was a verdict delivered just around the 10 deaths as misadventure. And obviously, poignant scenes. There was a lot of evidence that was given to the coroner's court over the last week about how the fire started and how quick it spread and the of life. The government, they strongly reject the European Union hard border suggestion that there could be a time frame on that. They're saying no to that. So obviously we're no further advanced than we were a week ago with how Brexit is going. And a great weekend for all the Irish rugby teams. They've all qualified for the knockout stages of the Heineken Cup. Ulster, Leinster and Munster and Connacht are into the semi-final, I think the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. And so if they win that, they'll get back into the Heineken Cup next year. And of course, the draw was made on Sunday for the next round, and it's got the lucrative game between Ulster and Leinster, that game played at the end of March. But before that, all the Irish squad are in Portugal on a five-day training camp in the warm weather before their first up Sixth Nations match against England on Saturday week at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin. And just quickly on some other news, the National Children's Hospital, which has been delayed and delayed, it's finally been built in the St. James's Hospital area or grounds, and now the cost of building it has spiraled out a further $450 million, and the government said they'll put up $320 million, and they're hoping that through fundraising and philanthropic donations maybe more money can be raised through the public. Righto, we continue on with more music, and it's always nice to pick up a few new listeners on the programme from time to time. And one man that's back here in Hollis, he comes back every year, is Dennis Till, and he's helping a mate, or I don't know who's painting whose house, but he's working with his good mate Paul Jorgensen, and they're listening to the programme tonight. So welcome back, Dennis, and hopefully you enjoy your time here in New Zealand over the next few weeks. And I suppose we have to have a song, New Zealand Connection, by an Irish band, so I've picked this one for you. It's by U2. It's called One Tree Hill. Well, there was a tree on that hill, but no longer there, but the song is still there. So here we go. So hope you're enjoying the programme, Dennis. Yes, well, that was U2 there and a song called One Tree Hill. That was song together, wrote that song in memory of their former New Zealand roadie, Greg Carroll was his name. He was from Whanganui and he died in a motorbike accident in County Meath. So that's from the Joshua Tree album, and that is going out there tonight to Dennis Till, who's listening to Ireland Calling with his good mate Paul Jorgensen. So hopefully, boys, if you're still painting, which I doubt, you've enjoyed that. You might be having a rum or something, so I'm sure that went down well. But anyway, everybody else, you're welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night on the planet, out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland, and our delayed broadcast, Christchurch on Saturday evening, Wellington Saturday night, Kapiti Coast Saturday afternoon, and around the globe on planetaudio.org.nz. And speaking of Bono and U2, I see here the average Dublin detached home now costs $1 million, and they've listed a house here. The most expensive house in Dublin is a $10 million house out in Killiney. And then there's a cheap house with little information about it in Donabate for €160,000. Front page of the Irish Daily Mail says, principals of primary schools, we're not talking secondary schools here, national survey reveals 68% of primary heads say smartphones and social media use outside school are causing major problems in class. And the principals, one of the principals quoted here said, phones are the scourge of primary schools. And I see here where, following up on that story, these devices are a plague in our pupils. And there's a story here about a young girl from England that took her life. She was only 14 2 years ago. And it was only after she died, the parents discovered all the stuff that she was looking at on the internet. As I said, the government has come up with an extra $450 million to finish the National Children's Hospital. There was delays and delays, but according to the Taoiseach, the real reason this extra money is needed is so that they can put proper sprinklers into the hospital. So Micheál Martin says that the cost of the facility could go over $2 billion by the time it's finished. This was a project that was going to cost in the region of $500 million when it was first muted, and then the government allocated $1 million. So now it's up to $1.7 million. And so obviously a lot of people felt it was being built in the wrong place as well, in St. James's. It should have been built out on the M50 or even out towards the Talla Hospital. As I mentioned, Monday marked the centenary of the first sitting of Dáil Éireann, which took place in the Mansion House in Dublin, and obviously celebrations are taking place to mark that event this week. And of course, the more important thing for the ministers and the government to do is to see what's happening over Brexit. There's a bit of unrest within the cabinet as well. And I see where Leo Varadkar's come out and he's asked his fellow ministers to stop criticising independent minister Shane Ross. Now, Ross seems to put his foot in his mouth quite a few of the times. He puts tweets out. He's a minister for sport and transport. He puts tweets out congratulating sports stars on winning major events, but he gets the sports wrong. And then somebody asked him recently about if there's a hard border, would there be a need of customs? And he didn't know. And also he's, this was a personal mission of his to bring the level of alcohol that people can drink and drive with down as low as possible. So you can't even have a pint now and drive. And this new rule was brought through Parliament before Christmas. And over the Christmas and New Year period, there was more and more guarded checkpoints, not alone at night time, but the following morning. And many people have been caught over the limit on the morning after a night out. And this is upsetting many communities, especially in rural areas. So a lot of the TDs have been criticising Ross. But the Taoiseach Varadkar, who's obviously kept in power by the support of the independents, he's saying ease off and let Ross just give him a chance. He's a good minister. Right, we'll head off with another piece of music here, and I'm looking around here and to see what we've lined up next, and we'll have to hit this button here. Where we're going to go with this, A Woman's Heart.
My heart is so low. tears that drip from my bewildered eyes. Taste of bittersweet romance. You're still in my hopes. You're still on my mind. Oh. And even though I manage on
Yes, that was the biggest selling single in Ireland, 1991, and called A Woman's Heart. And it was nice to see the girl that wrote that song on The Late Late Show, along with Mary Black and Frances Black, daughter Aoife Scott, who was in New Zealand last year, and a couple other musicians, Ronnie Drew's son as well, and Phelim Drew, and Ifiatan Nibrinon, former member of Hot House Flowers, and they were talking about folk music scene in Ireland, and there was a brilliant rendition of Raglan Road by about 8 or 10 artists on the programme as well. So if you've got the RTE player on your system, your computer, you can go back and watch that free, The Late Late Show last week, and it was certainly a very good rendition, and it was nice to hear Mary Black and obviously the other folk musicians talk about the growth and growth of music in Ireland, all types of music, not just folk, but of course country music is going well, and rock and pop going well. But anyway, we'll have more of that later on, and plenty of good music on the programme here. Just going back to some of the stories in the papers, there's been a series of articles written over the last week or so, talking about what's happening, it's going to be a hard border, which could happen if Britain leaves without an agreement with the European Union. The European Union have said the best deal that they have negotiated with Britain is on the table, and the British politicians unanimously rejected that the other day, and Theresa May has now a couple of weeks to try to get buy-in from politicians, but it looks like very little stuff has been taken off the table, and the Irish government has said there's absolutely no way that anything will be done to affect the Good Friday Agreement or set up a hard border in Ireland. So obviously tough times ahead for Theresa May, but whether she'll get support from across the House, from the Labour Party, in trying to negotiate a deal, we'll have to wait and see. But anyway, there was quite a number of articles written, in, especially in the Irish Times, about the impact it will have on border people and business in the border counties if Britain leaves without a deal. And it's going to cause a lot of grief to farmers, especially a lot of farmers, their property straddle the north and the south. And, you know, one farmer who actually went to school with me a year or two ahead of me, Frank Brady, he's one of the biggest pig farmers in County Cavan. And he just talked about the milk that is made, produced, used in the production of Bailey's Irish Cream. It travels, he said, the containers, the milk trucks travel over the border about five times to get to the factory production area, because milk for Bailey's, they take the purest cream milk, comes from farmers on both sides of the border. So he just talked about what that would do if you've got strict customs and security on the border, like going back to the olden days. But certainly warning time ahead for people, especially that are close to the border areas, if things go back to what it was like in the old days. And as I mentioned at the start of the programme, the other issue that people are afraid of is that if the violence starts again, and we saw a scene on Saturday night in Derry when a pizza delivery contractor had his car hijacked, and a group of people put a bomb in it, and they drove that to the city centre and parked it outside the courthouse, and then gave a warning that came through the Samaritans in England. And luckily enough, the police service had noticed the car abandoned and began to clear the area before the official warning was given. And thankfully, there was no loss of life. But about 20 minutes before the bomb went off, there was about 10 young people out on a Saturday night enjoying themselves, passing by the car, and they were just going nice and slow, and had the bomb gone off then, only God knows what would have happened. So obviously it's a big worrying issue to get this Brexit thing sorted. And the other problem is too, it's now almost 2 years, in fact it'll be 2 years this week, since the executive in Northern Ireland collapsed when late Martin McGuinness pulled the support of Sinn Féin. And keeping Arlene Foster in power. And obviously they haven't been able to form a government since then after two elections. So we'll have to just wait and see to lead us. Righto, let's have a bit of traditional music here. And this time we've got the Books of Ordinmore. Thank you.
walking down by Island Bridge, just doing as I please. This April day the sun was warm, there was but a gentle breeze. I wandered up the old stone steps into the Phoenix Park to watch the children laugh and play in the hours before the dark. I strolled up by the monument and lay down on the ground. Then people started crying when they heard a battle sound. I don't know what came over me. For a moment I could hear the echo of a soldier's voice kept calling in my ear. At the pillar, son, meet me there at noon. I need you, brave young Irishman. There's something we must do. Meet me at the pillar, son. It still is not too late. It's time to sing a freedom song. Come soon, I cannot wait. I turned around to see this man, but nobody was there. In the distance I could hear the drums, yet a stillness filled the air. I closed my eyes and in my dream a soldier I could see. He said his name was Padre Pierce, and he kept on calling me. That awful night I lay awake, and many times I cried. I could not answer his command, no matter how I tried. There in the dark I did my best say a silent prayer, that when they take him to his fate, he'll know how much I care. Meet me at the pillar, son. Meet me there at noon. I need you, brave young Irishman. There's something we must do. Meet me at the pillar, son. It still is not too late. It's time to sing a freedom song. Come soon, I cannot wait. It's time to sing a freedom song. Soon I cannot wait.
Yes, two in a row there. That was the Dublin City Ramblers and Meet Me at the Pillar. And before that, with a couple of reels and jigs from the Jig It Out and Style CD. And if you tuned in late, you're listening to Ireland Calling. Broadcasting to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. We look at the sports sections of the papers, and what a big weekend for Irish sports, starting off on Sunday with news that Shane Lowry had won the Abu Dhabi Championship Golf Tournament, and with that first prize of €1 million. And the only reason he was playing on that because he lost his PGA Tour card last year, so he was confined to playing lesser tournaments and spending more time in Europe. But as a result of that win, which he almost lost, he was three shots up going into the final round, and then was four down at one stage, but managed to come back with a birdie on the 18th. And obviously has shot him up the Order of Merit, and it'll get him invitations to all the big tournaments this year. In fact, I think for the next few years. But if he, drives on from this, he'll end up, being back up there with a full tour card. Well, he will be, and he'll get invitations to all the major tournaments. So well done to him. That was his first tour win. Of course, he won the Irish Open when he was still an amateur, and then he won a big tournament in Spain or Portugal, and then another one about 3 years ago in America. But rugby dominated all the news in Ireland over the weekend, and you had all the four provinces in action, and obviously everybody needed to win, and Ulster managed to win their match, so they qualified second in their group, 99, and Leinster, they had a big win over Wasps, 37-19. Munster had a tough game. They didn't really get going, but they managed to come through 9 points to seven against Exeter. They played, and they qualify, and they'll have to travel to Edinburgh to play Edinburgh in their match. As I mentioned, Ulster will be coming to Dublin, and of course this is all happening on the weekend that Brexit is due to take place, so it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen there. And then Connacht, who literally almost lost their game to Bordeaux. They won 33-27 with an intercept try by the Connacht player Jack Carty, nearly in the final stages of play. So that gives them a quarter-final trip to Sale Sharks. So, and good news for Connacht, with five players now in the Irish training squad that's in Portugal this week, ahead of the team that will be selected to play England in the first round of the Six Nations Championship. And of course that game is in Dublin on the 2nd of February. Huge, huge game. So rugby is at an all-time high at the moment. But disappointment for Tadhg Byrne, and indeed one other player is out of contention for the championship because of injury. Well, certainly the first part of it. And then at the weekend, there was a number of other Gaelic games that took place, and there was not a great spectacle of sport in Tuam. The following previous week, there was a great game between Galway and Mayo, and this was in the FBD League Cup final. And Roscommon, now coached by Anthony Cunningham, and he was the happier manager after the game, packed with many flash points. Galway losing 8 points to Roscommon's 13 points. And they start their league campaign with a game against Cavan this weekend. But better news for the hurlers of Galway. They won the Walsh Cup final, beating Wexford 123-20 points. And the Dr. McKenna Cup final, Tyrone 16 points, Armagh 14. And then the hand pass experiment that was put into action for these games over the last few weeks has been ruled out. The GAA had brought this in to abandon an experimental rule restricting footballers to three successive hand passes, and that's been removed from the competition and the league that starts this weekend. Hard to believe we're just almost a week away from the end of January. The time has gone by very, very quickly. Anyway, we'll continue on with more music this time, and it's Lisa Hannigan and The Fall.
Your horses, hold your tongue, hang the rich and spare the young, who drain the spirits from the jars, hop the fences, steal the cars, run on fumes and from the law, and burn for us right through the ladies, call your name, brush your hair like it could be tame, hitch their dresses past their knees, spill them to the floor like geese. They swing the bridges one and more, and burn for us right through the wall. All our men ahead.
is a cop's wheel, a mutiny we've come to feel. And where Raymond's gone from view with everything we thought to do.
Yes, Johnny McAvoy there, and his version of the song Nora. And we've still got some more time, about another 14 minutes to go before the end of the programme. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Looking here at a headline in the Irish Examiner today, it says that 99% of schools principals in Ireland struggle to hire teachers. There's a huge shortage of teachers in Ireland, as there is here in New Zealand. And I see that teachers for subjects in Irish, maths, French, home economics, Spanish and physics were among the subject areas in which most severe recruitment retention difficulties were experienced. And he said the Teacher Unions of Ireland President Seamus Langhart said that the teaching profession can no longer compete with employment options in the private sector as a result of the pay discrimination inflicted on those who commenced employment after 2011. And he said these findings will outline the clear damage that has been inflicted on the profession and the education system, with schools experiencing severe difficulties in both recruitment and retention of teachers. So same problem here in New Zealand as well. And we know that, in fact, I saw a headline today that there's 1,000 teachers coming in from overseas to teach in New Zealand. Right, the ambulance drivers were out on strike yesterday. Over 500 people. Half the ambulance drivers in Ireland belong to a union that feel they're not getting a fair crack at the whip. And so ambulance staff who engaged in a 10-hour work stoppage yesterday have warned that more industrial action is on the way. Around 500 personnel belonging to the Psychiatric Nurses Association Union stays the stoppage from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. With the HSE forced to implement contingency plans to minimise disruption. And everything seemed to have gone okay, according to the stories in the paper today. Global greening to see Varadkar in Washington. The annual global brand promotion known as in government circles as St. Patrick's Day program will see ministers scatter to the four corners of the world for March the 17th. I'm just looking here, reading this as I'm talking to you, but I'm not sure who's coming down here to New Zealand. But obviously, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, he's heading to Washington. Taoiseach to Simon Coveney, he'll be in European cities, Brussels, The Hague, Paris and Berlin. Finance Minister Pascal Durna, who he drew the short straw, will travel only to London, and that may be the last time he can travel for Paddy's Day celebrations without the inconvenience of a hard border. Employment Minister Regina Doherty, she's travelling to Italy and Malta. Children's Minister Catherine Sapone is travelling to Africa and taking a number of South African countries, Namibia and Botswana. Ken Corla, he's heading to Brazil. Owen Murphy will travel to Argentina. And I think that's about all they've listed here. They've Transport Minister Shane Ross is off to the United Arab Emirates. But I'm sure we'll find out who's coming to New Zealand in a few weeks' time. All right, let's move on. Another piece of music. And this time we have got Brendan Shine. And Do You Want Your Old Lobby Washed Down? Take it away, Brendan.
Cotton, a small bit of land in a place by the side of the sea. And I care about no one because I believe there's nobody cares about me. My peace is thin, I'm fairly annoyed by a lassie who works in the town. She sighs every day as she passes the way. Do you want your old lobby washed down? Do you want your old lobby washed down, Conshine? Do you want your old lobby washed down? She sighs every day as she passes the way. Do you want your old lobby washed down? The other day the old landlord came by for his rent. I told him no money I had. Besides, 'twasn't fair for to ask me to pay. The times were so awfully bad. He felt discontent at not getting his rent, and he shook his big head with a frown. Says he, I'll take half, but says I with a laugh, do you want your old lobby washed down? Do you want your old lobby washed down, Conshine? Do you want your old lobby washed down?
Says he, I'll take half, but says I will a lot. Do you want your old lobby washed down? Now the boys look so bashful when they go out courting. They seem to be so very shy. To kiss a young maid, sure they seem half afraid, but they would if they could on the sly. But me, I do things in a different way. I don't give a nod or a frown. When I goes to court, I says, here goes for sport. Do you want your old lobby washed down? Do you want your old lobby washed down, Conshine? Do you want your old lobby washed down? When I goes to court, I says, here goes for sport. Do you want your old lobby washed down? Do you want your old lobby washed down, Conshine? Do you want your old lobby washed down? When I goes to court, I says, here goes for sport. Do you want your old lobby washed down, Conshine?
Yes, the man from Athlone in County Westmeath there, Brendan Shine, with a song that was a big hit for him back in the 80s. Do you want your old lobby washed down? Right, going back to some other stories making the papers today. The coverage of the funeral of a young woman from Dublin. She's only 54, Orla Church. She was another victim of the cervical cancer. Obviously scandal. This was, we've talked about this at length over the last year, where all these tests there, on cervical cancer on over 221 women were incorrect. Results were incorrect. And many of them didn't realise that they had cancer over the last few years, and it became a huge big issue, and about four or five high profile women that were out there highlighting this terrible thing that happened in the Irish Health Service have passed away. And I see here where it says the cervical cancer campaigner was the glue that kept the family together. Orla Church was a family person who lived life to the full, and many tributes have been paid to her. In fact, there was a High Court hearing into her campaign against the HSE and indeed the company that carried out the test, and that was obviously cancelled. You know, this week, due to her funeral taking place, which took place in Donnycarney, County Dublin, yesterday. As has been the case here in New Zealand, new car sales are down, and there seems to be an increase in imports from Britain at the moment. But of course, that will change for the used car market when Brexit happens. We will just have to wait and see. I see here, you know, we think some of our rugby stars get well paid, but when you see the likes of soccer stars, what they get, Ronaldo, he agreed to pay 19 million in tax fines in Spain, and got away with a warning. He said he agreed to the fraud, and obviously because I think it's a first offence or something, but these are guys that are making millions and millions, and yet they're not, well, they're not the only ones. There's a lot of people out there that make a lot of money and try to avoid paying as much tax or as little tax as possible. Now, see here, a man is being interviewed by detectives after the front of a hotel that was due to be completed this week was demolished by a digger. I see there was a story in a paper here during the week about a young carpenter, young builder down in Hawke's Bay, where he didn't get paid for doing some work in the house, and he smashed about 40 windows and caused about $40,000 worth of damage. But this looks like this is a fairly major damage done to the front of a hotel, and it looks a right mess. And so not sure whether he didn't get paid for work that he did or whether he's an Irishman or not, but that's a story in the Examiner today. Of course, the whole scene in America still gets a lot of publicity in Ireland, and the shutdown, and of course leading up to St. Patrick's Day, as I mentioned there, there'll be plenty of promotion between Irish and US relations. And finally, another bit of news here. I see where Meghan Markle has discovered that her great-great-great-grandparents were married in a church, not a Catholic church, in Donnybrook in Dublin. It might be back four greats, but anyway, she has now finally tracked down her roots. Righto, we'll keep going with another song, come back and wrap it up after this. This is Hothouse Flowers and Gypsy Fair.
Strongly tempted by the call of the wild. Yeah. Going to the gypsy fair. I'm gonna find some freedom there. I wanna dance till I don't care at the gypsy fair. The gypsy fair. A coffee stains the total of the color of my mind. I see a plane, I look up and I wonder if it should be flying. Legend written, not written, only passed on through time. Of a people walking, walking people, and they're dreaming of flying.
Yes, well, that's about it for another week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. I'll be back here again next week with another edition of the programme. And in the meantime, happy anniversary to all the people in Auckland this weekend. Another long weekend to enjoy, and it looks like the weather is going to be nice and fine. Good night, goodbye, and God bless.